So, I get to knock out your brains, and you will go on your knees willingly. Is good.
He reached out an old hand and patted Shadow's arm with it.
We've still got time before dinner's ready. You want another game? Same terms?
Chernabog lit another cigarette from a kitchen box of matches.
How can it be same terms? You want I should kill you twice?
Right now, you have one blow. That's all. You told me yourself that it's not just strength. It's skill, too. This way, if you win this game, you get two blows to my head.
Chernabog glowered.
One blow is all it takes. One blow. That is the art.
He patted his upper right arm where the muscles were, with his left, scattering gray ash from the cigarette in his left hand.
It's been a long time. If you've lost your skill, you might simply bruise me. How long has it been since you swung a killing hammer in the stockyards? 30 years? 40?
Chernabog said nothing. His closed mouth was a gray slash across his face. He tapped his fingers on the wooden table, drumming out a rhythm with them. Then he pushed the 24 checkers pieces back to their home squares on the board.
Play! Again, you are light, I am dark.
Shadow pushed his first piece out. Chernabog pushed one of his own pieces forward. And it occurred to Shadow that Chernabog was going to try to play the same game again, the one that he had just won, that this would be his limitation. This time, Shadow played recklessly. He snatched tiny opportunities, moved without thinking, without a pause to consider, and this time, as he played, Shadow smiled, and whenever Chernabog moved a piece, Shadow smiled wider. Soon, Chernabog was slamming his pieces down as he moved them, banging them down on the wooden table so hard that the remaining pieces shivered on their black squares.
"There!"
said Chernabog, taking one of Shadow's men with a crash, slamming the black piece down.
"What do you say to that?"
Shadow said nothing. He simply smiled and jumped the piece that Chernabog had put down, and another, and a fourth, clearing the center of the board of black pieces. He took a white piece from the pile beside the board and kinged his man. After that, it was just a mopping-up exercise. Another handful of moves, and the game was done. Shadow said,
"Best of three?"
Chernabog simply stared at him, his gray eyes like points of steel, and then he laughed, clapped his hands on Shadow's shoulders.
"I like you. You have balls."
Then Zorya Uchunyaya put her head around the door to tell them that dinner was ready, and they should clear their game away and put the tablecloth down on the table.
"We have no dining room. I am sorry. We eat in here."
Serving dishes were placed on the table. Each of the diners was given a small painted tray on which was some tarnished cutlery to place on his or her lap. Zorya Vechernyaya took 5 wooden bowls and placed an unpeeled boiled potato in each, then ladled in a healthy serving of a ferociously crimson borscht. She plopped a spoonful of white sour cream in and handed the bowls to each of them.
"I thought there were 6 of us."
"Zorya Polunochnaya is still asleep. We keep her food in the refrigerator. When she wakes, she will eat."
The borscht was vinegary and tasted like pickled beets. The boiled potato was mealy. The next course was a leathery pot roast, accompanied by greens of some description, although they had been boiled so long and so thoroughly that they were no longer, by any stretch of the imagination, greens, and were in fact well on their way to becoming browns. Then there were cabbage leaves stuffed with ground meat and rice, cabbage leaves of such a toughness that they were almost impossible to cut without spattering ground meat and rice all over the carpet. Shadow pushed his around his plate.
"We played checkers,"
said Chernabog, hacking himself another lump of pot roast.
"The young man and me. He won a game, I won a game. Because he won a game, I have agreed to go with him and Wednesday and help them in their madness. And because I won a game, when this is all done, I get to kill the young man with a blow of a hammer."
The two Zoryas nodded gravely.
"Such a pity,"
said Zorya Vechernyaya.
In my fortune for you, I should have said you would have a long life and a happy one with many children.
That is why you are a good fortune teller,
said Zorya Utrunyaya. She looked sleepy, as if it were an effort for her to be up so late.
You tell the best lies.
It was a long meal, and at the end of it, Shadow was still hungry. Prison food had been pretty bad, and prison food was better than this.
Good food,
said Wednesday, who had cleaned his plate with every evidence of enjoyment.
I thank you, ladies. And now I am afraid that it is incumbent upon us to ask you to recommend to us a fine hotel in the neighborhood.
Zorya Vetrinyaya looked offended at this.
Why should you go to a hotel? We are not your friends.
I couldn't put you to any trouble.
Is no trouble,
said Zorya Utrunyaya, one hand playing with her incongruously golden hair, and she yawned.
You can sleep in Billybog's room,
said Zorya Vetrinyaya, pointing to Wednesday.
It's empty. And for you, young man, I make up a bed on sofa. You will be more comfortable than in feather bed, I swear.
That would be really kind of you. We accept.
And you pay me only no more than what you pay for hotel,
said Zorya Vetrinyaya with a triumphant toss of her head.
$100.
30.
50.
35.
45.
40.
Is good. $45.
Zorya Vetrinyaya reached across the table and shook Wednesday's hand. Then she began to clean the pots off the table. Zorya Utrunyaya yawned so hugely, Shadow worried that she might dislocate her jaw, and announced that she was going to bed before she fell asleep with her head in the pie, and she said goodnight to them all. Shadow helped Zorya Vetrinyaya to take the plates and dishes into the little kitchen. To his surprise, there was an elderly dishwashing machine beneath the sink, and he filled it. Zorya Vetrinyaya looked over his shoulder, tutted, and removed the wooden borscht bowls.
Those in the sink.
Sorry.
It's not to worry. Now back in there, we have pie.
The pie, it was an apple pie, had been bought in a store and oven-warmed and was very, very good indeed. The four of them ate it with ice cream, and then Zorya Vetrinyaya made everyone go out of the sitting room and made up a very fine-looking bed on the sofa for Shadow. Wednesday spoke to Shadow as they stood in the corridor.
What you did in there with the checkers game?
Yes.
That was good. Very, very stupid of you. But good. Sleep safe.
Shadow brushed his teeth and washed his face in the cold water of the little bathroom, and then walked back down the hall to the sitting room, turned out the light, and was asleep before his head touched the pillow. There were explosions in Shadow's dream. He was driving a truck through a minefield, and bombs were going off on each side of him. The windshield shattered, and he felt warm blood running down his face. Someone was shooting at him. A bullet punctured his lung, a bullet shattered his spine, another hit his shoulder. He felt each bullet strike. He collapsed across the steering wheel. The last explosion ended in darkness.
I must be dreaming,
thought Shadow, alone in the darkness.
I think I just died.
He remembered hearing and believing as a child that if you died in your dreams, you would die in real life. He did not feel dead. He opened his eyes experimentally. There was a woman in the little sitting room standing against the window with her back to him. His heart missed a half beat, and he said,
Laura?
She turned, framed by the moonlight.
I'm sorry,
she said.
I did not mean to wake you.
She had a soft Eastern European accent.
I will go.
No, it's okay. You didn't wake me. I had a dream.
Yes, you were crying out and moaning. Part of me wanted to wake you, but I thought, no, I should leave him.
Her hair was pale and colorless in the moon's thin light. She wore a thin white cotton nightgown with a high lace neck and a hem that swept the ground. Shadow sat up entirely awake.
You are Zorya Polu...
He hesitated.
The sister who was asleep.
I'm Zorya Polunochnaya, yes. And you are called Shadow, yes? That was what Zorya Vetrinyaya told me when I woke.
Yes? What were you looking at out there?
She looked at him, then she beckoned him to join her by the window. She turned her back while he pulled on his jeans. He walked over to her. It seemed a long walk for such a small room.